Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we finish our study in Philippians chapter 4, verses 14 through 19, titled, My God Shall Supply All Your Need. This is part 2 of 2. So, what happened to these people who were proud, prosperous, idle, ungiving? Verse 50, and they were haughty. Don't tell me what to do. That preacher, don't try to tell us what to do. That's haughty. H-A-U, not haughty as in good looking, you know. Haughty. H-A-G-H-T-Y. Haughty. And what did they do? Committed abomination before me. See, that was the end. We think of Sodom and Gomorrah, we do think of the sin that basically sealed the deal was the same-sex, gay marriage, transgender, LGBTQ, and their arrogance and their haughtiness. They call themselves queer, and then if you call them that, you're a hater. LGBTQ. What's the Q stand for? Come on. Some of you act like you think you're going to get in trouble for saying it in here. That's not what the LGBTQ community means because it's on all their stuff. Well, that's in the other ones. There's LGBTQ. Yeah, well, that's the... But my point is, you know someone is arrogant and haughty when they can commit a sin and then dare you to call them out on it. Dare you to even call them what they call themselves. That's where we're at in America. And it's taking place in the churches. And it all starts with that ungiving. And you say, you know, a lot of these churches that are liberal, they'll talk a lot about giving. The statistics are clear. They don't give. The liberal churches, they are shutting church after church down and having to come together and group together to pay their bills because they don't give. A liberal is an oxymoron today because they're not liberal. They don't give. They're the most uncharitable, ungiving people on the planet. You take someone like Ted Kennedy, back when he was around, he was the most liberal politician everybody talked about, and he was always wanting to give your money away. But they looked at his taxes and he didn't give anything away. Bill Clinton gave his dirty underwear away, but he didn't give a lot of money away until he formed a Clinton Foundation, other people's money. That's how liberals, so-called, give. It's an oxymoron. But let's not pick on the liberals. If fundamental Christians are going to be tightwads, let's just not pick on the liberals anymore. Amen? Because an ungiving Christian is an oxymoron, and it's a heart condition that leads to horrible sin and destruction. You read the testimonies. I was reading of Berkowitz, son of Sam. David Berkowitz, I believe is his name. It's at the end of the book I gave you from William Grady, Holy Ground. He puts his testimony. And I know that. And son of Sam, who was a murderer, he's doing life. And he got saved in prison. Amen. And I believe God can save anybody. Amen? Amen. You know, and he tells his story, and his story was more and more he became self-centered. All about him. All about me. Self. Now, not everybody's going to turn into a son of Sam killing people, but they turn into wicked people. They'll have their sin, and a lot of times it's secret sin. It starts in the heart. And I'm here warning you today, take heed lest you fall. If you're not a giving person, you're already on your way. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Instead of following the example of Sodom, we can be generous and content like Paul. Amen. Oh, I've got you running out. You guys are, oh, amen, brother. Preach it. Keep it coming. Don't let up. Give us some more. Verse 18. But I have all and abound. This is Paul. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which are sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, A sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. And it is sweet whenever people, especially when you're in need and you don't ask, you don't beg, and out of the blue you get it. Janie gave us a testimony this morning what that's like. Isn't that sweet? That's just wonderful. And Paul has everything he needs, and he confirms receipt of their gifts, and he is content. He says, I have all and abound. Now, he wasn't rich, but he had what he needed, and he was content. He wrote in Hebrews 13:5, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. The fact is that just knowing we're saved, and knowing the Lord is with us, and knowing the Lord will never forsake us, and knowing our inheritance in Christ Jesus, even when things are bad, we should be able to deal with it. And I always have to say I'm not tooting my own horn, but I want to tell you that I've responded bad and good when the pressure was on, when bad things were happening. And I mean, I've learned, even if in the moment you get a little steamed about something, that's normal. But then back up and take a look and reflect on what's going on in your life compared to the big picture, and learn to be content even when you think things aren't going as well as they ought to. Paul says, but my God shall supply all your need. And of course, this is one of those passages that's abused, taken out of context, but we're in context with it. We know what he's saying, and we can expect that God shall supply all of our need. Say that with me. Need. Because that's very important. Warning. What you're about to see is what many modern Christians look like when God doesn't answer their every whim.
I got 2 God cards in my deck. I got you. All right, stand in the way at least. Like, pretend. Boy, you're such a silly man.
Do you see what he's after? All that over. All that over Pokemon. Yeah, to her credit, she didn't. As far as we could see, she didn't give it to him. But, you know, that's what we look like whenever we throw a fit when God doesn't give us what we want when we want it. Spiritually, in the spiritual world, that's what we look like. The key word here is need. Look at verse 19. But God, my God shall supply all your need. Not your every unnecessary desire. A problem has arisen from the use of the word want. Did you hear him? I want it. Most of it is unintelligible, but if you listened, he said, I want it. The word want means there's a deficiency, a defect, the absence of that which is necessary or useful. It's a need in the sense of necessity. See, do you think that kid really needed that Pokemon? It was a necessity he was going without. It's a poverty, a want. We're going to turn over to Psalm 23 in a minute. But this generation refers to unnecessary desires as wants. And then they get upset when God doesn't give them their wants. Turn to Psalm 23 real quick. Psalm 23, 1 through 6. And God promises to provide for your necessary wants in the true sense of the word. Yes. This is also a misunderstood passage. I've had to explain this through the years to people. Verse 1 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." There's a little semicolon there, or colon there, that's, it's a break. It means it's not that you don't want the shepherd. "The Lord is my shepherd," pause, "I shall not want," meaning the Lord is your shepherd. You're not going to go without any of your necessary needs. So a lot of times when we're upset with the Lord for not providing something, we need to just stop being the spoiled little brat and step back and think about what it is we're upset about that God's not giving us, and then ask, now, is that really a necessary thing? And sometimes it could be something like a job or going to a certain school or something like that. It could be a boy or a girl that you're really, you know, like, and you're thinking, maybe that's the person I want to marry. And why isn't God providing that? It can be a car. Maybe you want a van. And then you try to buy a van or a house. It could be a house. And you could be in contract. And then it falls through. Yeah. Hasn't happened yet. But Jenny and I, so many times, we thought we had the house and it just didn't work out. And then Jenny would start to throw a fit. And I'd say, come on, Jenny. Now. Just kidding. But we would just say, hey, evidently this isn't the one for it. Yeah, that was good. Yeah. We would just leave and say, well, that must not be the one. And we just keep looking. That must have been a money pit and the Lord didn't want us to move in that one. Or, you know, whatever the case may be. And that's the way you have to look at it. And you have to look at your life and look at things that you may think you would really be happy with. The fact is, if you can't be happy without it, you won't be happy with it. Because that's not where happiness comes from. And, you know, we also know it's according to His riches and glory. And God's not hurting for money and doesn't withhold His blessings due to overdrawn accounts. God's answer isn't, you know, I'd really like to get that for you, but I'm kind of broke right now. If you can wait till we can take up next week's offering, then I'll have the... That's not... Let me tell you, when you give an offering, it's not for the Lord. It's for you and your opportunity to be used of God to fund the ministry, but to reach people. That's what it's about. And when God says no to your prayers, it's not because He's broke. It's because God is in charge. He's got a plan. He has unlimited resources, but He is not your personal sugar daddy. And that's really the way the charismatic word faith thing is now, you know, these days. God is a big sugar daddy. And that you even hear women talk about Him like that. Tracy, I know not too long ago you would tell me about some of the things that women say these days, and it's sensual. It just sounds actually blasphemous. But because they've been taught to think of God as like a sugar daddy, and it comes right down to it, they talk about Him like He is, and they use sensual terminology and everything about Him. And it's just so wrong on so many levels. So you ask the question, why isn't God blessing me? Well, let's just go through the list here. It may be you have unconfessed, unrepentant sin. Now, I'm not up here looking at anybody and thinking you do. This is between you and God. I don't know what goes on in your mind, your heart, and your personal life. But you've got to be real about this. God may not give you some things or bless you in some ways or open up opportunities or whatever it is. It may be because you've got something you need to deal with. And that's something only you can answer. Amen. Maybe it's because you're a bad steward. God gives you this much and you squander it, and you don't support his work, you're a tightwad with the ministry, why would he give you more? Maybe you're lazy. Thou sluggard. Jenny and I, numerous times gone back and quoted those proverb passages when we're talking about these things, because, you know, you can learn a lot in the book of Proverbs just by looking at the idea that God does not reward the lazy. Amen. It's like welfare. If someone is totally bodily incapable of doing anything, I'm all for feeding them. Let's take care of them. But if they can work, then it should be workfare, not welfare. If a man will not work, then he shouldn't eat, according to the Apostle Paul. Yeah, thou sluggard. That's just between you and the Lord. I don't know. That's something you have to... But there's another thing that really can be... This is the tough one. It may be that there's nothing wrong in your personal life. You're not a bad steward and you're not lazy. But God wants to change your course. That's a tough one. But that's where you just got to be patient. And it could be other things, but those are just some ideas to throw at you. Maybe if you've got some area in your life you think God isn't blessing you, or you know, you think that he's not answering your prayer, or these are just some of the things. Only you can answer those questions, and only you can come to terms with God. Amen. That's for you right now to understand. And finally, verse 19 closes saying, according to his riches and glory, by Christ Jesus. Only those in Christ Jesus can expect to be provided for by Christ Jesus. Amen. How many of you know unsaved people, and when times get rough, they blame God? Say, listen, pal, you're not even in the family. Why are you asking the Father to take care of you? Because we're all God's children. No, you're not. Amen. Stop talking to my Father. If you want something, talk to your Father. You know? That'd be like Dre coming up to me and say, hey, Daddy, can I have 20 bucks? I'm going to say, your mama's over there. Amen? Amen. This joke, I was just telling Olivia, the first 5 years after Jenny and I got married, every time Charlie walked in the room, got 20 bucks? How often did you get a 20 buck? Yeah, he could work for it. You must belong to the Father before expecting to be treated like a son. That's just something to remember. I believe everybody in here, for the most part, everybody listening right now professes to be a Christian, but you may be talking to someone who's unsaved and they start to blame God. Don't be rude about it, but just stop them and say, wait a minute, are you a Christian? Are you a child of God? Well, we're all child of God. No, we're not. John 1:12 says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. If you have never done that, you're not a child of God. You're the creation of God. In a physical sense, you're the offspring of God, as Paul said in Acts, but that's only in the sense of him producing you. But in a relational sense, you're not a child of God unless you've been received. As you receive him, he receives you. He gives you power. That's talk like power of attorney. It's talking about legally. The power. You're adopted as a son of God. And there is only one way. We sang about that. We'll sing about it again in a second. This time we'll sing Jenny's version. It's a little nicer. It's God's way or the wrong way. Amen? Amen? So let's go ahead and sing that. Number 54. Number 54 in the praise book. Jesus is the only way to heaven. Christians actually look to the Bible for answers. What you heard this morning was some practical lessons, practical information from the Bible. And so we just want to leave that question up here for you to think about. When you think about unanswered prayer, when you think about whether or not God is blessing you in certain areas of your life, do you go to the Scripture to find the answers? What we did this morning is just a little sample of what you ought to do on your own when you're in your relationship with the Lord. You want to hear from God? Open the book. Amen? And as a child of God, you have access to the Father through Jesus Christ, the only way to heaven. It's good to see you.
Just a few more earthly sorrows.
singing with the help of my sidekick here, my wife, Jenny.
Tanto.
And I'm Kimo Sabi. Well, the Bible tells us about a man who ruled Babylon and all its land. Around the city he built a wall and declared that Babylon would never fall. He had concubines and wives. He called his Babylon paradise. On his throne he drank and ate, but for Belshazzar it was getting late. For he was weighed in the balance and found wanting. His kingdom was divided, couldn't stand. He was weighed in the balance and found wanting. His houses were built upon the sand. The people feast and drank their wine and praised the false gods of his time. All holy things were scorned and mocked, but suddenly all their mocking stopped. For on the wall there appeared a hand, nothing else, there was no man. But then the hand began to write, and Belshazzar couldn't hide his fright. For he was weighed in the balance and found wanting. His kingdom was divided, couldn't stand. He was weighed in the balance and found wanting. His houses were built upon the sand. Well, no one around could understand what was written by the mystic hand. Belshazzar tried but couldn't find a man who could give him peace of mind. But Daniel the prophet, the man of God, he saw the writing on the wall. Belshazzar asked him what it said, and Daniel turned to the wall and read. My friend, you're weighed in the balance and found wanting. Your kingdom is divided, it can't stand. You're weighed in the balance and found wanting. Your houses are built upon the sand.